Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing? It's an FYF Friday on the usual suspects, and as is usually the case, suspects are all present and accounted for here, hopefully there, as Nick and Barry and myself are in the studio, and hopefully you guys, doing whatever you're doing on a Friday, are ready and willing and able to ride along with us for the next 3 hours as we take you through sports and other things. Fellas, what is going on?
Sup?
What up?
All good,
it's,
man.
It's FYF Friday. F stands for funky.
Okay.
F stands for foul.
Okay.
F stands for I forgot to wear deodorant today, and I apologize.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. I realized halfway here, I was like, uh-oh. Damn it. I got...
How do you do that? I understand me forgetting deodorant? Poop bags when I go on a run, but isn't that like a day? You brush your teeth, you put your deodorant on.
Well, it's deeper than that, Joel. The cat is a little the new kitty cat.
Yeah,
he's pretty bad. I've had to resort.
His name's Oliver, right?
I've had to resort to getting a water gun and shooting him with water because he is a horrible person.
Is that
and
not-
attacks everything, including my legs, for no reason. So, yeah, he was being pretty bad this morning, and I was like, okay, I don't have time for this. And just one thing led to another, and I didn't wear deodorant. So I'm foul, okay?
Okay.
F stands for funky. Deal with it.
All right.
We won't hug when the show's over, as we normally do.
Keep it the way it normally is.
Yeah, we usually hug and, you know, pat each other on the bottom.
Nope.
I tell you good game, and then we go home.
Okay.
Yeah, not happening today. I apologize if I stink.
Okay.
So at least I'm owning it.
Well, I don't think that you'd have any choice if anybody walks down the hallway with you.
Well, I mean, now I do sweat. I tend to sweat a little bit. We know that.
Oh, yeah.
So hopefully, maybe if we keep it cool in here, everything will be okay.
Okay.
All right.
There you have it. Nick, anything that you've dropped the ball on, resorted to?
He can't hear you.
Yeah, okay. So with that said, anything? How about the Rockets last night?
I tell you what. Didn't see that coming at all.
Well, especially since the first half, TNT spent the entire time harping on the fact that they didn't have a guy over 6'6". And literally, for most of the first half, the Lakers were having second chance opportunities on every possession. And even though it was tied at the break, it just looked like the Rockets were really outmatched on anything size-wise. And then, boom, lo and behold, here comes the second half. And three-point shoot shots are all on fire, and everybody – Russ is taking over, and you're like, my goodness, at least for one night, that was impressive.
What if I told you
– okay, 30 for 30.
What if I told you that a team that started no one over 6 foot six would be out-rebounded by one?
It was pretty interesting.
Yeah, what the hell, like – it's and you know what? I mean, obviously, Covington is the key to a championship.
Oh, it has to be, right?
I mean, that's it. But he came up big, though. I mean, for his first game.
Fourth quarter with those two threes? Yeah.
Yeah. Knocking down those big shots. I mean, good for him and good for the Rockets. And you and I were discussing it pre-show.
Yep. Yep.
11-1 now without Capella in the lineup?
And I believe that and D'Antoni's experience with going with small ball has led everybody to believe that this is something that they can do and do consistently and be successful with. I told you right from the get-go, it's something that I believe is going to have success in the regular season. I just have never seen it work in the postseason.
Agree.
And I hope I'm wrong, but that's been the trend.
And you know what? You were the first person I thought of for several different times.
You weren't naked, right?
But, I mean, one of them I was.
Easy.
But you were the first person I thought of after this game, and I'm mulling it over thinking, you know, we talk all the time about, is this going to translate to the playoffs? And I think Shaq said it pregame where he was like, Ernie, so the threes don't fall, they're not going to, but you can't do this. Right? So he was like, if they're not knocking down their threes, they're done. And we've talked about it before, and you just know that's basketball. Shooting comes and goes. Mm-hmm. It can be streaky. Dunks, you're gonna make most of them unless you're the Rockets and Clint Capella. But most
Daniel
of the
House.
Time, yeah. But most of the time, I mean, 3-point shooting can come and go, and that's what happens sometimes in the playoffs. This Harden shot will disappear on him because, as you've described in the past, you get tight, man. Things get – it's a lot different in the postseason. So that was to Shaq's point. But here's what made me think about this. In the NFL, it has always been said that defense wins championships. Always, always, always. And you look at the Kansas City Chiefs, and they weren't the best defense in the NFL. They weren't a juggernaut like the Niners were, or like some other teams that were really, really, really good. Like championship-level defenses. And what we've seen is a trend where offenses are winning now in the NFL. You don't necessarily have to have the best defense. If the Rockets are able to figure that out, if they're able to, you know, obviously the shot can't disappear on them. People are going to have to knock down their threes.
Right.
House is going to have to make his threes. You know, Wes is going to have to pass up threes and make his mid-range shots. But it is possible, I think, at some point in the NBA to win as a fast-paced shooting team. We've seen it in the NFL. We have seen teams that are offensive, like the Chiefs this year, prime example, offense-oriented teams win.
But I ask you, win or win at all? Because obviously,
win at all. It's going to happen.
Their objective is not just to win and win the division and win.
No,
in the
I'm
regular
talking
season.
Postseason. I'm not talking regular season. I'm talking postseason. If the Chiefs can do it, if the Chiefs can be an offensive-oriented team and win a championship against a really good Niners defense,
but
that was known as, you know, look, defense and run the ball. That's why you win championships. Low post play and rebounds. That's how you win championships. It could be done. It's been done in other sports.
And I'm not saying
maybe the Rockets
can't shut the door, because it's a new time in the way the game is played. The games are officiated differently. The rules are different. It favors people that are, you know, teams that are offensive minded. But if you look at last night as an example, and you're capitalizing on the fact that offensively they were in a zone, the other thing that you have to look at is their defensive rating for the game last night was in the 80s. And if you can play defense, team defense, in the 80s, you're going to win a lot of games. Mm-hmm. And you're going to be capable of beating the best teams, which you did last night. But can you do it consistently in a 7-game series when, instead of playing so many games and so many nights, as I've harped on in the past, you have coaching staffs that are only focused on you and stopping you and slowing down James and disrupting the offense that's worked for you all year and capitalizing on the fact that you're just going to play differently. You're going to, even if it's a team that plays fast, if you know you're playing the Rockets, you know the first thing you should do, slow the ball down. Mm-hmm. Play half court. Mm-hmm. Make them play your tempo.
And that's what, but I think, and I was reading, Zach Lowe has a really good but very long article on the Heat and the Rockets at the trade deadline. And at one point, he kind of breaks down the thought process behind this D'Antoni offense. And he talks about the fact that, sure, you might be able to out-rebound us and slow the game down. And they did in the first half. I mean, look, how many lobs did you see over the top with the Lakers? And that makes sense. Do that. But the Rockets are going to gamble and say, we'll trade a 2 for a 3 every time. Now, your bigs are going to have to cover the perimeter. So good luck with that, because we got 3 guys that can get to the bucket if Eric Gordon's on the floor for sure. So good luck. Bring the bigs out. That's great, because then there's no shot blockers in the paint. We'll drive on you. So you pick your poison, right? But what he said is, they want you to go for those offensive rebounds, because if you don't get them, it's a fast break 3.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Mike D'Antoni is banking on. And, you know, it's kind of like the pick your poison with the Chiefs offense type thing. You're going to have to outscore us. And I think that's what the Rockets are trying to do. I'm not suggesting it's going to work in a year where you've got LeBron and AD, you know, the Clippers and all that. But at some point it has to, right?
There has to be
an offensive team.
I think it could. But I think that, you know, you look at the game last night and the way it all went down, and you can say everything that you want to say, but the one thing that's good is, from Mike D'Antoni's standpoint, because for everything that you said, you're going to have those veterans that have been there and seen the Suns fail or other teams that have tried to do it fail.
Sure.
And from the minute that he, you know, they obviously made the statement by not getting another big man in before the deadline of saying, we're going to play differently. I'm sure there was plenty of naysayers in that locker room going, man, I've seen this before. It isn't going to work. But because you beat the Lakers last night on the road, on national TV, and because you were able to play your way and win, that's why you can send a message to your locker room. Trust me, go with this for a while.
Right.
See where it goes.
And that's what he said in his postgame. He goes, yeah, you know, there's some doubt. And sure, everyone's going to look at this and think we're crazy. But huge confidence boost for this team to go out there against a really tall team in the Lakers.
Might be the biggest overall roster in the NBA in terms of how many 7-footers they can throw.
So you got
there.
The smallest roster versus the biggest roster after the trade deadline. Let's see how this works. No Clint Capella to bail you out. You know, if you need to put him in later. And they held their own and they didn't waver. And so he said, this is confident. You know, we got a long way to go, but this gives them confidence that it can work. We just have to execute. Now, you got to make 45% of your 3-pointers, because that's what they did last night. That team that shoots 35% for the year. But last night they made 45%. That goes a long way in helping you get that win.
Yeah, and the other thing is, keep in mind, Charles Barkley, before the game started, they showed Mike D'Antoni talking about going small. And he's like, I saw this movie once. It's Dead Man Walking. But well, guess
yeah,
what?
I remember that.
He already knew that going in. So what does he have to lose?
Yeah.
If he does this and it works, he's a hero. He gets an extension. Everything works out for him. If he does it and it fails, who cares? Because I was going to be gone anyway because Tillman didn't give me the extension when he was supposed to.
But here's the thing, though. He has to get Daryl Morey to buy in on that. Is there a discussion that happened where D'Antoni and Morey sit down by themselves, no one around, and he just goes, look, I know I'm gone if this doesn't work. Let me just go out how I want to go out. I can't do this with Capella. He's awful. He doesn't help what I want to do. Let me do this. And if it doesn't work at the end of the year, I know I'm gone anyways. Because you got to get Morey's buy-in to do that, right?
Well, you're supposed. Yeah,
I mean, obviously, the way Mike D'Antoni didn't make those trades.
Yeah.
So Daryl Morey had to be in on this. So either this is Daryl Morey who is also co-signing this.
I was going to say, but he's also starting to get on thin ice as well.
But is he co-signing this, or is he going to Fertitta? Look, Mike says he knows this is it. If they don't win, so let him go out. Let's do it. I can get out of Capella. We can do this.
I can give
that.
Up some more of our future. I mean, yeah. I don't have much left, but I can chisel away the last draft pick.
That's the bad part.
Yeah.
But they're really, I guess that means this organization is. So what I'm asking is, does this mean the whole organization
all in,
is
Tad
in
Brown
on small ball?
For him on the corner of the court last night to make sure he tapped everybody's ass. So, and told him good game. So, you know, they're all in on that. But a big win for the Rockets. The Knicks have already been talking about Daryl as a possible general manager to show you that there's a rumor out there that Tillman was ready to wash his hands of Daryl.
Interesting.
So, between Mike and Daryl, maybe you're right. They got together and go, both of our asses are on the line. Let's give it a shot. So we'll see. We got plenty to kick around. If you want to talk Rockets or otherwise, hit us up. 713-780-3776. HRNP listener line. You can also hit us on Twitter where it's at the producer Nick, at Pac-Man Joel with a K, at Barry is funny. We are the usual suspects. Just getting started. ESPN 97.5.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Here we go! Second segment of the show as we get into it. The meat, the potatoes of an FEF Friday right here on The Usual Suspects. Barry, Nick, and Joel. Barry, you do have a comedian of the week picked out for an FEF Friday.
I do indeed. Justin Thompson, who passed away this week. Rest in peace to him. The audio from the clips that I had wanted to pull, not great for radio. So, unfortunately, we won't have clips from Justin. But I did want to make him the comedian of the week regardless because it's sad. And I was told he passed in his sleep and it was very sudden and he had a fiance and my heart breaks for her and his whole family. And we lost another funny person and that's always sad and tragic. And, you know, one of the things that I watch, and I'm fortunate enough to have a day job and I'm fortunate enough to work at a place like Gow Media where we have healthcare and we have insurance and a lot of comedians out there, a lot of working comedians that do it full time and this is how they pay their bills. They don't have insurance and if they do, it's not good. And health is a concern for a lot of comedians. I mean, health is a concern for everybody, but I know a lot of comedians that don't go to the dentist because they can't afford it. They don't get surgeries or they don't get things done because they can't and they can't afford it. And it's just tragic when you see stuff like this where, you know, I mean, it looked to be health related. He wasn't the epitome of health. But it's just sad. So I, you know, my heart breaks every time we lose a comedian and, Justin Thompson was a funny dude. So
rest in peace.
Yeah. He'll be missed.
So we were talking about Rockets before the break and kicked it off with a big win as they got the Lakers last night. The more important questions arise because the other thing that people have to consider is, you know, this is a team that's going to have to be in tip top physical condition too, because you're being asked to do a whole lot more, and your endurance is going to be tested a whole lot more based on the fact that you don't have any big guys. So you're like you mentioned when you were talking about some of the matchups last night, whether it be Eric Gordon, whether it be James Harden, whether it be Russell Westbrook, when they got to go in the post, that's a different kind of fatigue that can develop because you're taking a pounding. You know, then you got to run up and down and play your style offensively to capitalize on, like you said, transition, fast break, things like that. They play again tonight in Phoenix. Going to be interesting. Is Russ going to play? Because he normally doesn't play back-to-backs.
Right.
You know, can they, when you start whittling away some of the guys that he's leaned on being D'Antoni in terms of his rotation, can they afford to have those nights where we give a couple guys a night off, but we can still play that style and we can still defend that post? Because you're going to have bigs again tonight with DeAndre Ayton. Is a big man for Phoenix. We'll see how this holds up over time. But I like the fact that right off the top, you play one of the best teams in the NBA. Then you come back, it's a back-to-back, so you'll see how they react to it. And then you see how you play against another team that likes to play fast, that likes to get shots up, but they have bigs.
Yeah. And I like that it kind of felt like last night D'Antoni manage the game like a playoff game. The rotation wasn't that big. It didn't go all the way. You know, he didn't use everybody. Knowing it's a back-to-back, maybe that had something to do with it. But, I mean, for example, Clemens didn't play at all, so perhaps.
Well, but he hasn't played. I mean, he went with Rivers. He went with the guys he can trust. He went with Rivers, Covington, and
But I'm saying perhaps maybe Clemens gets a start tonight or sees a bulk of the minutes because of Russ on a back-to-back.
But he's so small. And if you're already playing small.
I get it. Well, then why have him then? I mean, if you're not,
well,
you know.
That's a bigger question, okay? Because a lot of guys, too, are starting to get to the point where if you're an unproven guy like him and every time you come into the game, you have the brightest green light on the planet, it's starting to get annoying to guys that are, like, fighting for their minutes, trying to keep, because of financial concerns with their contracts and otherwise, want to keep their averages up, but they can't even touch the ball because now you've got an undrafted rookie that's acting like he's Russ or he's James.
So you're going to start Rivers. Maybe you don't get past McLemore in the guard rotation? I'm saying if Russ doesn't play.
Right, I'm saying if Russ doesn't play, Harden's your point guard. He handles the ball enough anyway.
Okay.
EG's your two.
Yeah.
McLemore's your three.
That's what I just said. McLemore's going to start.
Okay, and then... Or you could go McLemore or House, and you could play Covington.
Okay, he's going to start?
Yeah, I think, because he's 6'9". So he's going to give you a little bit of size.
Well, so you're just thinking he didn't start last night because...
He just got there. Tonight, he took a red eye. They didn't know how much he was going to grasp.
So
they
tonight.
They did an emergency film session. But because you want to capitalize on the good of last night, say, hey, he didn't even have a day with us, and he kicked ass. Let's get him back in there.
So that brings up a bigger question, which we batted around yesterday after all the trades. Seeing what you see, it was nice getting that 14 points off the bench, getting that spark from Covington down the stretch, meaningful minutes.
If he's willing to come off the bench, that's a huge plus for a team that desperately needs bench help.
What was interesting about the Rockets' offense last night is you obviously had Russ go off for 41, but no one else topped 20. I mean, hell, no one else topped 15.
That's including James Harden, people.
And yeah, and you were able to go out and beat the Lakers. And what it showed me was that this was an offense that was diverse. It wasn't focused on James.
Ball was moving a little more.
Exactly. The ball wasn't, as Mikhail would say, sticky.
Right.
There was ball movement. There was an offense that was willing to, whoever was open, take the shot. And it worked.
And let's and as much as people scoffed at us when we said this, and we're not talking about trading either guy now, it was just hypothetical, but let's not discount what Russ has been able to do in the last 10 games. Russell Westbrook is not taking high volume numbers of threes anymore. Russell Westbrook is back to attacking the basket, but he's also distributing the basketball. His numbers over the last 10 games are ridiculous. Mm-hmm. And that's something that this team is going to have, because more times than not in those same 10 games, James hasn't been James. And we knew, whether it be all the minutes he was logging or, you know, all the wear and tear on him, at some point he was going to have to hit a wall. And if this is the stretch and Russ is able to pick up where James has left off and faltered a little bit, good for the Rockets.
Yeah.
So we'll see how it plays out.
I still say they should trade both guys and just start over. Do you know how many people that pissed off that we were having those hypothetical discussions?
Oh, but I also got so many people that said, give you guys credit for having the balls to say trade James.
Hey, we go back to it. If they kept Russ and said, you know what, we tried to build around James and it wasn't working, let's move on. Let's build around Russ and see what happens. That wouldn't hurt my feelings, because we've seen the James Harden experiment, and so far he's had, we talked about it, how many stars? So here we go again. And in that article from Zach Lowe, he discussed that. He goes, you know, the Rockets are in win-now mode. They're not worried about the future. That's why they're not worried about assets. They're trying to win a championship with James Harden. Well, how much longer are we going to try?
Yeah.
Is it until he's no longer viable? Because if that's the case, then he's also going to lose his value.
Absolutely. I mean, look, he's going to be with you for the long run as your franchise player if you do hang on more than a couple more years. Yeah. And in doing so, are you willing to take the consequences of him possibly ending up like Allen Iverson and being, or Karl Malone, being one of the guys that ends up being one of the most successful individual players in the history of the NBA that never won a ring?
And I'm fine if they stick with him. I'm just saying there's got to be a point where you look at it. And you have to be honest with yourself. Can you win a championship with James Harden? And I don't know the answer to that.
It's the never-ending question until he proves to you that he's going to be a force in the playoffs and they're going to go a long way.
You know you can get to the Western Conference Finals with him. You know that. He's done it twice.
Yeah, you've done it.
Not once, twice. And he's been really, really close to advancing to the finals, but he just hasn't. So, you know, the same thing was true for John Elway for a while.
Right. And the other question that behooves me to ask you is, if this is the style that they're saying they're sticking with, this is what they're going to go with, right? We know they have a couple roster spots open. What if, hypothetically, a big becomes available, a big that has experience, a big that can play, and you go, we're going to go get him. Are you going to change the style and go back to what you were playing previously? Mm-hmm. Or if this continues to work, like you said, the record when Clint doesn't play, do you say, well, if we get in a playoff series with a big man, we have an option to go defend him, but we're not going to change what's been working? Mm-hmm. That's a question.
That is a question that needs to be answered. We know it's not going to be Tristan Thompson, but what if there is somebody that pops up that he would be a good fit. I don't know how that's going to be when we find out how committed are the Rockets really to this small ball lineup.
That's what I'm waiting to see, too. So, you know, test number two comes tonight at Phoenix in a back-to-back. Keep an eye on that. And then they come back home for Sunday, I believe, against Phoenix again. So tests against teams that are young and explosive offensively, but they have bigs. And it's going to be interesting to see how the Rockets are going to react.
Yeah.
So, all right, we'll continue to do Rockets and a whole lot more. Before we go to the break, though, I believe you want to tell some people about...
We'll do it later.
Oh, okay.
That's what I was telling you.
Oh, okay. I thought we weren't going to have a phone call, but we were going to do it anyway.
Do it later.
All right, so we'll get to that and a whole lot more. We've got a lot more things to get to. Obviously, the XFL kicks off this weekend with your Roughnecks and all the ESPN personalities that'll be around that. Lots of other things to get to. A.J. Hinch tonight, 5 o'clock, MLB Network, if you have it, cable or otherwise. He is doing a sit-down with Tom Verducci. We have some sound bites from that. Interesting comments from the one-time skipper of your Houston Astros talking about that 2017 World Series and more. We'll get to those things. And, of course, if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, join us, 713-780-3776. Call, text, hit us on Twitter. It's the usual suspects. Half hour. Next half hour coming up next right here on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Second half hour of The Usual Suspects right now on ESPN 97.5. We were kicking around some Rockets. Gentlemen, I don't know if you saw the first game last night, but I will tell you this. If you thought things were bad for the Rockets and obviously got a burst of happiness last night beating the Lakers.
Well, it's championship now. That's right. No?
Thank God you're not a Sixers fan.
Boy, no kidding.
What a mess that is.
On the road. At home, they're fine. It's the weirdest damn thing.
It is weird that way. But then this is what I like. And of course, having been in my previous life and my other job, I know how much of a fine line it is to get broadcasters to be honest. And we talked about when you're the flagship home of a certain team that remains nameless, multiple teams, you have to promote sunshine and rainbows even when it looks like death warmed over. But the national broadcasters normally are supposed to be more honest, but because they have to protect the product, they kind of still have reservations. I loved the fact last night that Reggie Miller was going, Joel Embiid, if you're going to be a leader on this team, you don't sit on the very end of the bench not talking to anybody and looking disinterested. You sit in the middle or by the coaches and you work on what's going wrong. And then they started pointing out where their lack of hustle, guys would turn the ball over and the defenders would be more energetic to go get the ball or see if they could get the ball than the Sixer players.
They showed one of the specific turnovers where he just watched it.
Yep.
Never even tried to go get it.
or the Bucks turn the ball over and Simmons is on a breakaway all by himself and Giannis closes like a half court's worth of ground in about two steps and knocks the ball out of bounds. Yeah. And you're like, that's the kind of energy you're expecting out of both teams, which are supposed to be two of the best in the East. But right now, and then when you couple that with, you hear Simmons saying, I don't know what we're doing offensively. You hear Al Horford saying, well, we've got problems in the locker room, but we're going to keep those internal. Well, you just didn't. You just made sure the whole world knows there's more going on.
There's something going
on. Yeah, and then Embiid going, you know what? I was trying to be focused and mad, and it's not working. He said this after the game last night.
God.
But now I'm going to get
serious?
Back. Yeah, he goes, I'm going to get back to having fun. What does that mean? You're going to slough off even more? You're going to get a seat in the second row instead of somewhere on the end of the bench where you can make point at people in the crowd and... But yet, after the game, he shows everybody in the media his hand as if to say, it limited me. Then don't play.
Yeah. They are a mess. They are a mess. What's weird, though, is they seem to get it right at home. I don't
understand.
They
do have a great
it.
Home record. You're right.
Yeah. And I wonder, is it the best home record in the East?
Miami was with, I think, one loss for a while there. So I don't know. Miami's right up there with Philly, and I can check that.
No one has less losses at home than the Sixers. They are 22-2. The Heat are 22-3.
Oh, I thought Philly had three losses, they were saying last night, but
nope.
Okay.
They are 22-2 at home. The Heat are 22-3. The Bucks are 24-3. That's crazy to me. They're 9-19 on the road.
Talent wise, you look at it, and it's similar to what. The same narrative was when the Rockets traded for Westbrook, only this is a duo that's been together for several years now. You're just starting to wonder, can these two guys coexist?
Yeah.
You got, you know, the guy that has the ball in his hands more than anybody can't shoot.
Yeah.
You got a big that would rather shoot threes. You got a big that would rather shoot threes than be dominant on the low post. Someone on Twitter was like, can't wait to see the Sixers and who might have the biggest team in the league play the Rockets. Well, guess what? It's not going to be a good gauge because the biggest, best player on the Sixers wants to shoot threes.
Yeah.
And he could kill the whole league on the low post.
He really could.
He's that skilled offensively. He's no Clint Capella. He is skilled offensively. Now, and someone, Damon Jones, brought up the point this morning. Maybe it's because he's out of shape and he doesn't want to run. That's why he just sits on the three-point line, shoots threes, and kind of sloughs off.
It could be.
Well, you're paid a lot of money.
Run.
You're talking to everybody about how much you want to win. Get your ass some extra work, but get to the point where you're back in shape.
Yeah, if you're going to talk like that dude talks, you got to be able to back it up.
No,
so far, he hasn't.
Just so frustrating to watch that. And I'll be honest, on the flip side, and I've quietly kept from saying this publicly out loud a lot, but I have had little confidence in that Bucks team in terms of having enough to be anything more than the best record in the league in the regular season.
Really?
And petering out in the playoffs again. But every single time I see them play like that and I go, my buddy's their PR guy. And we were texting after the game last night and I said, let me just tell you something. The impressive thing to me is everybody knows their role or plays a role on that team. They put their ego aside. They don't care what that role is. They're happy to play it. And then you take like a guy like Wes Matthews Jr. who just joined the team and early on you could see he wasn't getting looks, touches, or anything. Last night, kind of like Covington for the Rockets. Big threes, late, plays defense, does his job. And you're like, you know what? That's the ultimate way a team should act.
Yeah.
The old school way a team should act. You got your best player, but everybody else just filling their role.
Play your role.
Yeah. And if they do, they got a legit chance. So I'll see, you know, again, when you start getting into, again, similar parallels to the Rockets. Because you look at that team and you say, regular season, it's tough to stop Giannis.
Mm-hmm.
But in a seven-game series, when all you got to do is scheme against them, kind of like Toronto did
last
year.
Everybody else can beat us.
Get it out of his hands, yeah. Double him on
the... Well, because you're seeing the same team at least four times, and you're going to make adjustments, and that's all you have to game plan for. It's not like you're flying and, yeah.
And
this
you
is it.
Know
that's all that's in front of you, so you can focus on stopping one player.
It's similar to defending James. However, James is a better outside shooter than Giannis, so it's easier to defend. You have to just pack the paint. You got to keep him away from the basket and yeah. challenge him with doubles to get it out of his hands and know that as long as he's on the perimeter, he's okay. Where he really kills you is anywhere near the basket with his reach and the way he gets to the second chance opportunity.
I was thinking about the Rockets with a big win, and it's going to be so typical that they go and lose to the Suns.
Or flirt with it.
After beating the Lakers
mm-hmm.
with all this brand new, okay, we're committed to small ball. And then they come out and get all the Rockets fans excited and and then they'll probably go lose to the Suns. Is that me being a typical Rockets fan?
I think it's the Rockets being a typical Rockets team. Is that exact? Because we've even talked about before they started going small consistently, the one thing that has been consistent is even when teams are missing some of their best players or one of the worst teams in the league, they will make a run some point in that game to where they have a chance to win it.
Yeah.
And then the Rockets are going to have to like claw and scratch to stay on top or come back.
How about your Thunder?
Telling you, man.
They moved up to six now. Tiebreaker over the Mavs. Mavs are in a free fall right now. They're 5-5.
And Luka's still out.
Yeah.
And that's going to hurt
them. Everybody's going to, you know, hope to take advantage of the Mavs while Luka's out. And, hey, if you can get them down, they're going to, you know, if they continue to fall, then the rest of the league's like, deal with it, man. Everybody deals with injuries.
I'll
make your comeback.
Based on I'm going to kind of retract what I said earlier because there's not enough games in the season. Portland's not going to get to a top four, but Portland's going to be a playoff team.
No, you can't say it too late.
You don't, especially if you're the Rockets. But if you're any team on the top of the West, the two teams you don't want to see in the first round are OKC and Portland because they're both one's getting healthy, and if they get Nurkic back with the way Lillard's playing and the weapons that they have, Portland can play with anybody.
They can, but can they stop? It's the same thing with the Rockets. Portland's defense is not good.
But we'll see.
Defensively, that is not a good team.
Sometimes it's going to be team versus team, and you're going to be competing, trying to – you can outscore teams. And so you have to see. But I don't want any part of Oklahoma City or Portland in the first round based on their veteran experience and the way they can go and attack you.
Oklahoma City, if you're the Rockets, you just don't want that because for some reason Chris Paul will get into another level. Yeah, but the Blazers, obviously Dame loves to hate Russell Westbrook and James Harden and the Rockets, and he loves to make big shots on this team. And, you know, and it seems like the
Mello Trailblazers will have an axe to grind.
Yeah, but I don't know in the playoffs in general. They remind me a lot of the Rockets in that how good defensively are they going to be? Can they stop anyone when they need to?
We'll see. All right, so there's some basketball talk as we get it started here on The Usual Suspects. Before we go to the break, I want to tell you about the good people at Fitz Roofing. Fitz Roofing's been doing it for a long time here in the Houston area, and they can do a lot of good things for you and your family, too. If you've got a roofing issue, maybe a leaky roof, or you've been thinking about putting a new roof on your house, there's only one place to go, and that's Fitz Roofing, because they are locally owned and operated. They're not like the sketchy roofers, deposit thieves, and storm chasers that take your money up front, do really, really poor work, and then you can't get them to finish the job or make changes. That's not what they do at Fitz. Fitz is there before, during, and after the sale, and they make a difference at every single opportunity they can with every customer. They use the best product in the business, CertainTeed Shingles, so much so they're a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master Company. Only 1% of the roofers in the entire United States meet the criteria to get that status. They got it. You need it. You go to Fitz. Their base warranties longer and better than your average roofer, and it just keeps going from there. Simply put, they have the ratings to back it up. A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on Facebook and Home Advisor. Why would you go anywhere else? Check them out, FITZRoofing.com. Better yet, call them, 832-521-3001, 832-521-3001. That'll get you a free, no-obligation inspection today. They come to you, tell you what they can do. They go back to doing their work. You want them to come back, reach back out. They're going to do fantastic work. I'm telling you, anytime you need anything to do with roofing, there's only one place. It's Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
ESPN. 97.5. It's close to midnight. Something evil's lurking from the door. This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5. And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey! It's Usual Suspects Hour number one on an F Yeah Friday. F Yeah, if you were Michael Jackson in 1984. On this day in 1984, Michael Jackson's Thriller was recognized as the world's best-selling album and inducted into the Guinness Book of World Records. In terms of musical history, this one's going to go down in the laurels as being one of the best of all time.
Well, good thing R. Kelly didn't have that same record. We'd have to play his music.
No, we would use editorial discretion.
Use something else. Yes. I know.
Although, Michael, I don't know, but
yeah.
It wasn't proven in a court of law, and so we'll just go with the musical background and history of one of the greatest of all time.
You said we talked a lot of basketball.
Well, I know we kicked off the show with basketball. It's fine. Yeah, I mean, some people slammed it for that.
Segments some people enjoy it. Basketball. Hey, look, it's basketball season. If you don't like it, suck it. I don't know what else to tell you. What do you want us to talk about? Third string?
Go gamble.
What do you want us to talk about? Third string right guard for the Texans? You know where you can go get that talk. It ain't here. I know there's a lot of 65 and 70-year-old dudes that are like, talk about football! Well, you know how to work your ham radio. Change the dial. I want to talk about a sport that just doesn't get enough love in this city.
Rugby.
Kabaddi.
I'm sorry?
Excuse me?
Your what hurts?
Kabaddi! So I was at the secret group the other day, and this comedian named Micah Green was like, dude, have you ever heard of Kabaddi? Because he was like, do you really get high? I was like, no, because that's illegal. Yes. He goes, bro, if you ever get high, you got to watch a sport called Kabaddi. He said it's basically, it's like there's a team of five or six on one side, or maybe it's seven. Seven on one side, seven on the other. And you have to try to break, they all like lock arms, and you have to try to run and break through their like arms that are locked together. And then they can pick you, they can tackle you, slam you down. Like, he's like, there's dudes that get pile drive. Like, I saw a guy get pile drive on top of his head. I was like, so it's basically like Red Rover and wrestling, but real. He was like, pretty much. I'm in. I don't even need to be high to watch this. Are you kidding me? That sounds amazing. So I started watching clips. It's pretty fun. I'm not going to lie. I kind of like it. We need to get a Kabaddi league going down here. It's pretty dope.
Have you seen videos? I mean,
look, watching videos right now. It's pretty interesting. yeah, I'm totally watching Kabaddi videos. Why wouldn't I? It's Red Rover. You don't remember Red Rover?
Yep.
When everybody would be like, Red Rover, let Nick come over. And then you'd have to run through the line. And if you broke through, you would sit a person down.
Yeah, it was like, then that you helped get with the rest of them.
Could go back, and then so you got to pick somebody to sit down from that team. And it was usually the fattest person that was left because, you know, when they lock arms, so those ham hocks ain't breaking.
One of those deals kind of like the ostrich races where you're going to get into Kabaddi. Mm-hmm. And one, you're going to tell everybody you're a professional athlete. And two, if you win at Kabaddi, you're going to be a champion.
Yeah, a Kabaddi champion.
You're going to be a Kabaddi champion.
Champion? Are you saying that I don't have what it takes to be a Kabaddi champion? And I think when they do it, they were saying, because there was a dude who is familiar with the area, we'll say. I don't want to say he's Indian because he's American, but his heritage, I guess. I don't know the right politically correct word.
Ethnic background.
There you go. His ethnicity.
Well played, Nicholas.
His ethnicity.
I wanted him to kind of just try it.
He goes, let him struggle.
He goes, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He goes, part of it is you have to yell Kabaddi, 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 Kabaddi when you do it. I was like, well, that's even better because now it sounds like you have someone with a mental issue playing Red Rover and wrestling. And this is like, well, tell me when this gets bad. This is so great.
And you think you're worthy of being a Kabaddi champion.
Yeah. Because Pardeep is the king, okay, bro? Could I be Pardeep?
Sorry.
Probably not.
Sorry, I won't question your Kabaddi-ness. My bad,
Pardeep
bro.
Is really good. So could I be a Pardeep? No. He's the Michael Jordan of Kabaddi. But I could probably be something. I could be the Austin Rivers of Kabaddi.
Pardeep.
Yeah, Pardeep the king, bro. Put some respect on Pardeep's name. You got a problem with Pardeep? You got a problem with me? If you got a problem with Pardeep,
I hope Jose plays because he's Par-Jay, and we need Par-Jay and Pardeep.
So I was looking at the score. Just ignore that.
And then on the back of the jerseys, you can put.
Here's the only problem with you should
Kabaddi.
Stop.
You rock Kabaddi. Okay,
no, please stop. Please, right. It's so bad. the thing about watching the videos is that. Only the scores are you can read. It's because it's the number 24, but everything else is not in a language that I can read at all. Their numbers on their jerseys and the score is the only thing I can make out.
Okay.
That's it. Occasionally you'll see a sign that has a name on it, but the rest of it, nope. You just better enjoy the Red Rover for what it is. Pretty cool, though. Google it. Kabaddi. K-A-B-A-D-D-I. Kabaddi. It's pretty interesting. You're welcome. Now we've had our Kabaddi breakdown.
We are going to be the official flagship home of Kabaddi starting in 2021.
Can I do the play-by-play?
So we're going to be doing the Pardeep show as part of Kabaddi 2021. So when you are ready to rock your body,
we're going to play again. You didn't need Kabaddi to do it again. It
ESPN
didn't
97.
Work 5. The first time. I'm hanging myself on the air. Has there ever been someone?
Lame!
Thank you.
What, Nick? And I was just going to say he hangs himself. You're in. Now you're out.
No, I mean, I was just expressing Barry's feelings for him. It wasn't really me.
And then you
think he's ever needed help
on it?
On that?
Yeah, that's true.
Ever.
That's probably
true. Ever needed help on that? No. Never. So, okay. I also made the mistake of looking quickly at Twitter during a break, and I thought it was Jake Asman's birthday because I thought several people were giving him wishes. So I wished him happy birthday. And it turns out he was wishing one of his friends happy birthday. They were both in the picture. And he's like, Joel, I really appreciate the kind words, but it was my buddy Dan's birthday. And I was like, oh, okay.
The worst.
Good job, Joel.
He looked like such a...
That's hilarious.
Why? Because I tried to wish him as opposed to you guys who were just like, screw him.
Oh, my God.
I didn't even see the post.
So instead, I just responded and goes, I just said, well, then keep this. And when it is your birthday, remember that I remembered you fondly.
Because I don't care.
Because I am multitasking right now, honestly.
Just friend him on Facebook. You'll know when his birthday is.
I got him on Facebook.
Well, then you would have known today was or wasn't his birthday.
I've been on Facebook today. I haven't had the time you've had.
Who doesn't go on Facebook?
This is hilarious.
Oh, boy.
I'm liking every single one of these things.
Oh, go rock the body.
Oh, my God. He's just doing it again.
Or go play, what is it, Quidditch?
What? I don't play. That's Ashton.
I know, but you could get in on a game.
He's only bringing it up so he can make another dad joke or a pun. That's the only reason he's bringing up Quidditch. Go ahead and do it. Do the one you did at the break.
I don't even remember it. I was just going to say, I don't remember.
Go ahead. Get it out. Just get it out of your system.
Oh, Quidditch. Just play Kabaddi.
See?
Oh, God. You know, why can't we get more original names for these games?
Kabaddi is very original.
But then, I mean, that people could, I don't know.
And Quidditch, you don't think that's not original? Excuse me, soccer and American football share the same name. You talk about not original, but Kabaddi and Quidditch, super original names for sports.
Football and football.
Yeah, but they're both called football.
Well, one goes by soccer as well.
No, Americans gave it soccer. It's football.
Okay, so... If it's we like, have Kabaddi like, and we could also go with Kanatomy, and then you could have either one, kind of like football and soccer.
You can turn my mic off for the rest of the segment. You don't need me. I don't want to be a part of this.
Nick, that's good.
I don't
want to
be associated with it. I don't want people being like, wow, what is that? Who was that? Because, you know, people confuse our name, our voices.
Which is also just completely bizarre.
Yeah, it really is. I don't know how that happens.
I don't either. So there you go. So if you're looking for a new sport.
Wait. Why is Hunter Pence trending on?
Because evidently that means something's happened with the Astros.
Oh, John Heyman reporting Hunter Pence has a deal with the Giants.
Oh, so he did not accept the Astros offer.
There you go.
As there's a player? He's going back to San Francisco?
It says Hunter Pence has a deal with the San Francisco Giants, according to John Heyman. And there's the blue check mark.
Boy, what does that tell you? I'm not going to play for the cheaters.
What it may tell me is that maybe, what's his name? God Heron's like, nah, we're not doing that deal.
Click.
So they rescinded. Yeah.
Yeah.
That could be the case, too. That Click was like, hey, look, bro, appreciate you. And I know this Dusty's, but Dusty, we're not doing that. You're a one-year guy. You can't bring your dudes in. I've got to pay these cats. No, I'm looking long-term. What? Hunter Pence doesn't fit our style.
And as we talked about.
I don't know.
You have Reddick for at least one more. You have Reddick for at least one more year. You have Kyle Tucker, which you desperately are trying to find a place for him to play. You have Miles Straw, who plays infield and outfield as your utility type guy, is going to take the Mariznick role. Where would he have played anyway?
Yeah,
I don't get it. So that good.
Well, like
I'm
I said,
he signed with
he,
the Giants.
He would have been depth at the right field position if you were able to move Reddick and his salary, and Kyle Tucker doesn't. You know, isn't ready to take on the everyday role because he's still young and learning the game and, you know, playoff runs. He's got that experience. It would have made sense from a depth perspective, from another veteran presence in the clubhouse perspective and all that. But, yeah, and outside of that, it's not a big deal. If Kyle Tucker is your backup right fielder, that's fine.
It's crazy that pitchers and catchers next week.
crazy. Valentine's Day, I think.
I think it's right. And other teams, some teams, I think, are going a little earlier. But I see, like, certain broadcast stations across that cover baseball across the country are, like, road tripping on 2- and 3-day trips to get down to wherever the teams are getting ready for spring training. And it's upon us, people. I mean, the Super Bowl is over, mm-hmm. and football's behind us. And all of a sudden, just like that, baseball's already on board.
Yeah, they said our turn. It's like, settle down. Basketball's still... baseball, for me, it's going to be relevant, obviously, mm-hmm. Feb 14. But the rest of America, doesn't really get into baseball until the All-Star break.
Yeah, there's, you know...
And even then, really until the playoffs, a lot of people don't care about baseball until it's playoff time.
It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. And I think a lot of people, too, are more engaged in basketball than they've been in the past because it's not just the Warriors to lose. It's
correct.
There's a lot of teams that have a shot at it. So it means a lot to a lot more cities, a lot more markets, and a lot more fans. So we'll see how that all translates into viewership and otherwise as we continue to go. But baseball right around the corner.
Somebody said Kabaddi's nothing like Red Rover. It looks more like a weird dodgeball tag. No, there's no ball. What are you watching? You weren't watching Kabaddi. There's no ball. There's no ball.
I mean, get Kabaddi confused with Kabali, because there's where the ball is.
Oh, my God. I just can't do it today.
Okay. Well, that's hour number one. You don't have to do it anymore on hour number one. We can start a fresh hour and go from there.
So, Ronnie the gym rat wants to start. He goes, Barry, me and you, we'll be trendsetters, founders of the Houston Kabaddi League.
Good luck with that. I can see that being on the cusp of just the new league that takes the country by storm.
Pink Valkyrie said we're out of hand and we need to get it under control. I believe she's talking to you with the dad jokes.
No one asked her for that.
And Corey has sent me the Kabaddi World Cup schedule. So my life is complete now.
There you
go.
Are
we going to go to a Kabaddi match, Nick? You watch it.
I would not watch that.
Did you look at the video of it?
I did.
You didn't find that interesting at all.
I mean, if I was participating, it's one of those things I wouldn't watch. I'd rather participate, but I'm clearly too...
You obviously didn't see anybody get slammed on their head.
I would participate that if I was... My point was, if I was, like, in my 20s, I would participate in something like that.
But you wouldn't watch it? You just wouldn't go with me to a Kabaddi match? Games? I don't know what it's called.
Probably not. Probably
not. I'm ruining it?
You wouldn't go?
Look, I know your love affair with watching other dudes in tights and short shorts. I get it.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan.
Okay. You're missing out. All right.
Barry's in the process of designing the
Kabaddi
uniform.
They don't even have one in Houston anyway.
I guess I'll just use all these Kabaddi tickets I got.
Well, we are the flagship home. We can give them away on air. All right. Hour number one's in the books. Two more still to go. Don't go anywhere. It's the usual suspects, ESPN 97.5.